The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey, this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Mandy McKay.
Just stress before
we should do like yoga or something, right?
All right. Did you listen to the last episode?
I haven't fully listened to it yet.
There's a point where I like messed up my speech and I left it in there. It was really funny.
That's awesome. And we're back, episode 30 of the Youth Ministry Sherpas.
What's up, folks? This is Steve,
and I'm Matthew.
We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
And we just finished a pretty phenomenal brainstorming session about our booth at the National Youth Workers Convention.
Yeah, we are good to go, man. I put down the deposit, and we are headed to St. Louis, November 15th, I think it is.
How are we going to get that giant dice packed in our carry-on for the contest to win stickers and shirts and candy?
We might have to ship it out separately. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
It'll work out.
You think maybe in St. Louis we could just buy a big dice? Is that like a normal thing? We could Amazon Prime it to our Airbnb.
That's what we should do.
That's what we should do. Yeah, totally. Yeah. See, we're figuring things out even right here on the episode.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. We can't wait. So, what's up with you, man?
You know, just living the dream, man. Loving dream. Life.
You're back to work, right?
I am back to work. The sabbatical has come to a screeching halt. And yesterday was day one back in the office.
You were in the office yesterday?
Well, I didn't go to the office yesterday. Because my first day back was an all-day, all-staff, long-range planning meeting.
Oh, really?
9 to 4.
Okay.
Just hammering away at it.
So you were at that?
I was at that, which was great. It was great to be back with the...
It's kind of a good way to get back.
Back with the gang and, you know, debrief the sabbatical with them and catch up on what's been going on. So it was good.
They welcomed you back?
They were ready for me. It seems like they were ready for me to come back.
You've been gone. We don't really want you back anymore. You're free to go.
I do worry about that sometimes. Like, did they think, hey, we did just fine for the last 8 weeks. Why are we paying this guy? But it was not the case. They were glad to have me back. And,
nice.
And there's a stack of things waiting for me to do.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. So, okay. Yeah, so it was good. What about you?
That's keeping on here. Got our fall retreat coming up in a couple weeks, so gearing up for that. It's always our biggest event of the fall, so I'm excited for it. And we just had the Love Frederick Day, which was pretty cool. The whole church was out in the community all weekend. We didn't have weekend services. We were out serving people and had like 600 people out all over Frederick County, Saturday, Sunday. It was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. Glad that went well.
Worship at Baker Park. It was really sweet.
Very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, ramping up for fall retreat and next thing up. So
yep, here we go.
That's the way it goes.
This past weekend, my kids, my younger two that are still in high school, it was homecoming weekend.
Yeah, how was
so
that?
I had the joy of going and taking the pictures with all the squad. It's fun. My son, who's a senior, he's got these three guys that he's been friends with since third grade. You know, they've just been a squad since third grade. So it's just been so fun to kind of watch. We actually pulled some old pictures out.
Yeah.
They were trying to recreate pictures they took like in eighth grade. And
nice.
So it was a lot of fun. You know, it's just, I don't know, that high school experience. You know, it's been quite a while for me. But I can still go back and just remember those were just such fun times.
You have happy memories of homecoming?
No, not of homecoming.
I don't think I ever went
to homecoming. Really? I was on homecoming court my senior year.
You were?
Well, I one of my friends was nominated, and she asked me to be the escort or whatever. Nice. So
you were youth group president and on homecoming court, man.
You were the king
of your town.
Well, it was a very small town with not a lot of competition.
I remember homecoming. I don't think it was very fun.
But yeah. No?
No.
But yeah, so it's fun. You know, it's fun to live that with your kids. And then I've got, you know, two in college, and they both come home tomorrow for fall break.
Nice.
So that'll be nice to
get
the whole fam home for the weekend. So cool.
Yeah.
Kids are a blast. You get three boys.
I do, yeah. My youngest is down at Belmont University, and he's coming back. He's actually going to lead worship for our fall retreat.
Oh, fun.
So I'm super excited about that. he's doing great. He's a junior and loving life there. And my middle son's at home with us, Tim. He's a physical trainer and works at a gym. And he looks so good, dude.
Oh, man, I bet. If that's, so good. I mean, if that's your job and you get to be in the gym all day, man, I'd love that.
Yeah, he just looks great, and he's doing well. I love the place where he's working. He seems to really fit in there, and they love him, so that's cool. And then my oldest, Jonathan, he got married last year. Whole new phase of
that's
life.
That's a new phase of life.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't even think about that right now.
You have no idea what that's like. It was a great day, but, man, it's just so different having a married son. But he lives in downtown Frederick with his wife, and he's doing well. I see him every Thursday. We play basketball together. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
The joys of children.
Oh, I'll tell you, man, those years went fast.
They did. And that kind of brings us to what we wanted to talk about today, and that is
yeah.
the joy and the sometimes unjoy.
Of having your own kids.
I don't think unjoy is a word. But
unjoy, lack of joy.
Yeah.
Of having your own kids in the youth ministry.
Yeah.
I get asked that question a lot. What's it like to have your own student, your own kids in the youth group?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great question, and we have a lot to say about it.
Absolutely, because you've weathered the whole thing.
I have.
I have weathered a good many years of it and have a year and a half left of
yes,
it.
Yes, your time is running out.
Yes, so we've experienced a lot of things, lots of really great things. Mm-hmm. But there's also some challenges there.
There definitely are some challenges.
And so hopefully for you as a youth worker, whether you've got your kids in now or whether you're young and new and someday you think I will have kids in my ministry, we'd talk a little bit about the challenges and the joys.
Yeah. So many young youth workers with young kids are just wondering, what's this going to be like when my kids are in the youth group? They can't even imagine it. And then it just comes, and it's just like this wave. It goes so quickly, and then you look back, and you're like, wow, that was
awesome.
That was my life.
It happened, yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's talk about some of the problems that having your own kids in the youth ministry provide to your life.
Some of the challenges.
Yeah, the challenges that come your way.
And I think one of the first and most obvious that probably everybody knows is coming, but you don't know how you're going to deal with it until it happens, and that is the unrealistic expectations that other people are going to have for your kids. Mm-hmm. Wait, it's the pastor's kids. It's the youth pastor's kids that they're going to just be perfect in youth group.
Yeah, and they're not.
Mine were not.
Yeah.
They were great. They're wonderful, but not perfect, and certainly don't live up to what I consider unrealistic expectations.
People think, first of all, that they know the Bible in and out, right? They think they're going to answer all the questions. They're going to be just the Bible answer man or woman. They also think that they're going to be perfectly behaved.
Mm-hmm.
They're the pastor's kids, so of course they're going to godly individuals.
Yes, they're going to welcome everyone. They're never going to leave anyone out. They're never going to be part of a group that doesn't welcome somebody else. That's unheard of. Why would they do that?
They're going to be natural leaders. They're going to be, pastors in the making, right?
Obviously. Yeah. Obviously. And all this stuff, I think, is
not true.
Well, it's not true, and it's also not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. And so I know one of the things that I had to learn pretty early on when my kids reached that youth group age is I had to advocate for them.
Mm.
Like, I had to fight against that mentality in other leaders and other students. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, well, this is just what it's going to be and let it be. But I realized pretty early on, no, I got
to step in sometimes.
When I see it, when I hear it, I need to confront it and say, this is not okay. This is unfair to my kids to put those kind of expectations on them.
Yeah, my kid is just another kid. So don't expect them to be any superstar or super godly person. It's just, any more than anybody else. Yeah.
So from a practical standpoint, as your kids start reaching that age of being in youth group, I think you got to be ready.
Yeah, start to set those expectations in other people's minds.
Exactly.
And yeah, I like that word, advocate for them. Yeah, that's good. You know, I've seen other pastors' kids come through the youth ministry as well.
Sure.
And there's this real tendency to kind of compare. Yeah, having had the senior pastor's kids all come through the youth ministry too, I had to check myself and make sure that I wasn't comparing them to each other along the way, the same as I didn't want my own kids to be compared to each other along the way. Because each is individual. Each is unique. They're all going to bring their own spirit and spit and vinegar to the ministry.
Right, absolutely. Just like any other kid. We have no problem thinking every other kid is their own story, their own individual with their own joys and challenges. Well, the same is true for your kids when they're in ministry, and the same is true for any other pastor at the church whose kids come through the youth ministry. And so, yeah, we got to be careful not to compare. We got to be careful not to put unrealistic expectations on them.
Did you ever have somebody just blatantly mistreat them because they were the pastor's kid and you had to step in and say, hey, you can't be doing that?
Yes.
You want to tell the story?
I don't. You know.
Come on, name names, man.
No, there'll be no naming of names. But I saw it play out a few times very blatantly. Most times, I mean, honestly,
Did your kid know?
In one instance, I think my kid felt it.
Okay.
I think they felt like they were being held to a higher expectation and they were then being...
They were in the fishbowl.
Yeah, they were being treated differently than any other kid, mm-hmm. just because they were my kid. Mm-hmm. And it left a really, really bad taste in their mouth. And yep. there was a lot of damage control to do with that person. Now, that kid was a youth group junkie, which, again, sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. But in this case, they were. So they were able to weather it because this was such an important part of their life that they weren't willing to let one kind of incident or one person sort of ruin the experience for them, and they're a strong leader, so they just pushed on.
I think one thing that's probably true for both of our churches that was a blessing is there wasn't that expectation placed by leadership on our kids in any particular way. I mean, maybe occasionally a little bit, but you know, I think there's a lot of freedom in your church and my church to just let people be people, let kids be kids.
Yes, which is helpful, very helpful.
And I'm sure that there's churches that's not the case, where there's just this hidden level of expectation and pressure on the pastor's kids that, you know, you hear
shouldn't
those horror
there.
Stories. Yeah, and if that's the case for you, man, I'm really, really sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's going to be hard to navigate.
I would be hard to navigate, but if that is the case, or you sense that might be the case, and you can potentially head that off, I think it'd be a great idea to have those conversations before they even get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sense that,
early on,
maybe this is the case here, and let's go ahead and have an honest conversation about that. I'm not saying that will fix it, because sometimes you just can't fix stuff, but to try to be preventative and say, no, we're not gonna operate this way.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah. I remember one specific instance. There was a missions trip that we had signed my son up for, and we wanted him to go, but he was playing travel baseball and his team won their playoff series and made it to the next round of this tournament or this whatever it was. And so we had to make a decision. Does he go play on his team or does he go to the missions trip? And in that particular instance, we felt obligated to the team because he was a key part of that team. There's only 12 kids on it. And we knew there'd be other missions trips. And so we chose that and we bit the bullet financially, paid for the trip because we had committed to it. But I remember hearing people, I can think of one specific person. It was like, you know, well, Pastor Steve let his kid go play baseball instead of go on the missions trip. What kind of example is that set? And that really frosted me.
Sure, I bet it did.
That really frosted me. Because we had made every attempt to get our kids plugged in all the time. I mean, they were always at church, and we made this one decision in the moment that we felt was actually the better decision, even spiritually, to go and
be with that team.
Be with the team that needed him, and we got grief for that, and that just didn't sit well.
And the reality is, that was your decision to make. It's not anybody else's decision to make.
Right.
You guys wrestled with that, and it wasn't an easy decision, I'm sure, to make. I'm sure you looked at every different angle of it, and it's your decision to make, and just like it's any other parent's decision to make. And yeah.
Yeah, so when you have a conflict with an event, I'm sure there were instances where you struggled to make those choices, right?
Sure, and there still are. I still have two kids in, and they're both very active mm-hmm. at their school,
which I want them to be.
Want them to be a light in their school. They're very active athletically, and so there are conflicts. Mm-hmm. And nine times out of 10, they're going to choose youth group or the church activity over that. But life is just too complicated for it to just be like, well, we always choose this and we never choose that, because sometimes the right choice is the other. And so we have to – that's a challenge. It's a good challenge because it challenges my wife and I and our kids to really talk about, like, well, what is – we're not deciding between – we always tell our kids that, you know, when you're in elementary school, most choices are right versus wrong. Middle school and high school, you start to get ready for life, which is best versus better. It's not right and wrong anymore. These are two very good decisions. One of them's a little better.
Yeah.
But we have to figure out what it is. And it causes these great conversations. But
it's harder when people have the expectation that you're going to make the choice, and all the choice is always going to be the church thing.
Exactly. And so that's not only is that hard for me as a parent and my wife as a parent, but I think it's hard for my kids because they know that that expectation is there as well.
Right.
And I know at least in one of my children's account, every now and again, because of their personality, they've said, oh, I'm choosing the other thing because everybody expects me and wants me to choose the other thing. Kind of a little spit and vinegar there, which is a fine thing.
Which brings me into the next one that we were thinking about, which is, are there instances where you feel like being the pastor's kid somehow suppresses their true identity or even their, I don't know, their opportunity to just be who they really are because they feel like they have to meet some hidden expectation or standard?
Well, yeah, I think there's a challenge for our kids in two ways in being themselves. Number one is the expectations, which we've just talked about. The other thing is, and you probably hear this all the time from other people, from teachers at school or whatever, they talk about your kid in a way where you go, wait, are you talking about the same child that I just fought with at breakfast over, you know, the stupidest little thing? That often, especially in the teenage years, and this is why what we do as youth leaders is so important, there's this space for our kids to grow outside of their parents. And sometimes that's – and we hope one of those great places is youth ministry. But then you have this tension where when our kids go to youth ministry, they're still with their parents.
Right.
Or one of their, you know. And so I think there's a challenge for them to just be themselves in an environment where a lot of other kids, it's a lot easier for them just to be themselves because their parents aren't there.
Right.
But my kid's parent is still there.
Always there.
So I think, I don't have an answer for that challenge. It's just a challenge that our kids are going to face.
Couple things that I tried to do, it's very small, was to never have my kid in my own small group for any activity.
Right.
Always make sure that they have another leader. Hopefully a leader you can really trust, a leader that knows you and is willing to give your kids a pass and not expect them to be anything that they're not and just love them for who they are. Like, that's gold. If you can find that volunteer to be the one who pours into them, that's a key,
it's important.
Key thing. And identify that person early and try to put them, you know, directly in the path of your kid is a great idea.
Yeah, I remember pulling a leader aside when my oldest got to middle school. And this was a great leader, somebody I knew for a long time, was actually formerly, you know, a Young Life leader. So I knew they had the chops. They weren't just a good volunteer. They were a phenomenal volunteer. And I remember pulling this leader aside and said, listen, take the challenge if you will. Yeah. Don't feel any pressure here, but I need you to be this kid. And I was talking about my son.
Yeah.
I don't need you just to be his small group leader. I need you to be all these other kids' small group leaders. I need you to be his youth pastor because I'm his dad.
Yeah.
And I think there's just going to be a tension there. And this guy got it, you know. He understood. He said, all right, challenge accepted. And he really, you know, so I had to, you know, again, ahead of time, put somebody to say, can you help create an environment that exists for all these other kids but doesn't quite exist for this kid? Can you help maybe create it for him?
And so they probably went out for pizza after the youth group and were like, man, that message from the youth pastor tonight, that sucked. That was the worst thing.
A clunker,
who
man.
Who is that guy? That's the worst.
No, I think it did give my son a voice that he didn't have with me. You know, a voice to be able to be more honest and more himself, because he was going to somebody who wasn't his parent. Yeah, so to set that up for our kids is really important.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever feel like your kids had some subtle expectations from you.
Yes. As much as I didn't want to, right?
Yeah, we worry about what people think of us too, right?
Oh, sure, we're humans.
Yeah, they worry how we appear to everybody else, yeah, as parents.
And so, you know, when we're in those conversations about maybe a conflict, like, okay, there's a swim meet on this date, but it's also the date of this youth ministry activity.
Right.
And then the you know, you're having this wrestling and you ask the question like, wait, are you thinking about going to the swim meet? Which is a legitimate question,
yeah,
but that question can just come with loaded guilt. Like, I know I'm just asking, like, no, if you want to choose a swim meet, we'll just have the conversation and we'll figure it out. But I think they hear the question,
be really
wait,
cool. Yeah.
Are you actually thinking about doing this instead of that? And so I think as well-intentioned as we are, I think that there's just a subtle pressure that our kids feel from us.
So we got to guard against that. Yeah,
we got to guard against it. And then I think because no matter how much we guard against it, because I felt like I was very intentional. My wife and I talked about it from the beginning. Okay, we got to be very careful to not do this. We still do it because we're human.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to apologize when it happens. That was one of the things I learned, was that when it happened, I had to go with and eat crow with my kid. I had to go and say, like, that was not okay of me to do, which is – that's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing we didn't even write down in our notes is I felt like I had to protect my kids from some of the internal workings of the church at times and things that were happening.
Sure.
Conflicts with people, you know, things that came up as leaders in the church that I just didn't want to talk about at dinner with them, because I didn't want them to see the dark underbelly of church life.
Sure.
You know, I wanted them to think the church was good and people had good intentions, and sometimes that wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they caught wind of things that happened.
They're not deaf.
I wish they hadn't known.
Yeah, they hear conversations.
Yeah. So I think that's something that we need to be careful of with our kids in the youth ministry, that we're not debriefing everything that happens in their presence and kind of spoiling.
Tainting their vision of what the church is.
We don't want that to happen.
No, we don't want that to happen at all.
So we've just talked about all the negatives.
There's some challenges for sure.
But there are so many positive things.
Far outweigh the challenges.
We both have loved having our own kids in the youth ministry.
It was just a sweet time.
You're still in it, and I'm done, and I miss it, man.
Yeah.
I miss it a lot. So some of the things that we really loved about it, first thing was...
just practical.
Yeah. As the youth pastor, I was able to pretty much write the calendar for the youth ministry, and I could write it around my own family calendar.
Yeah, it brings a lot of family alignment, doesn't it?
It does. Everything aligned. So I would look at the summer. My kids played travel baseball. We wanted to do family vacation, and we had student missions trips. I could work that all out because I had control of the calendar.
You control the calendar.
It was
absolutely
great. Yes. And so I would work that thing, man, like Play-Doh. I would work it to perfectly meet my family's needs. And, you know, I'm joking a little bit, but it really was something that I had control over.
Yeah, not that you would do anything to, you know, negatively impact the ministry just to benefit your family. But the fact is if we can go this week or that week and it doesn't matter in student ministry, but it matters to my family, well then, hey, we're going that week. Well, that's just not an opportunity that's afforded to everybody.
Right. And as youth pastors, you know, our schedule is so odd. We have so many evenings and weekends and stuff. And so when your kids are involved in those activities, you're with your kids. It's aligning those off times.
Yes.
They're actually on times. It's fantastic.
We had four kids within 5 years. So we had some blurry years in the early years. And my wife is a saint, right? And so for so long, you know, the Sunday afternoon, okay, I'm heading out. It's 3 o'clock. I got to head out and get ready for Sunday night, you know, where most families are spending this wonderful Sunday together, and I'm leaving my wife with four, you know, toddlers or whatever. You know, for a long time that was the case. And then all of a sudden, she was like, man, I got a Sunday night off. Woo-hoo! And she was, because now all the kids were getting in the car.
They're all going
and rolling out with me, which was great for me and great for her. So just, man, it's a sweet time.
That was a sweet time.
It's awesome.
I also loved the connection that I had with their friends in a different way. Friends that they had within the youth group already, because they were involved and they loved it. And so they would have, you know, get-togethers with those kids outside of church life. And that was really cool. And then the friends that they brought from school, they would invite their friends into the youth ministry, and they would sometimes get involved in the youth ministry. I loved seeing that happen.
Yeah.
Seeing their influence.
I did think, here's what was funny to me, though, is, you know, when your kids are in elementary school and they have friends, and you see their friends, like all of my kids' friends called me Mr. McCabe.
Right.
Right? Right. Mr. McCabe. Thank you, Mr. McCabe. Nice to see you, Mr. McCabe. I'm hanging out with your son today, Mr. McCabe. Sounds great. That's wonderful. And then they come to youth group. Well, nobody in youth group calls me Mr. McCabe. And so just to watch my kids' friends' tension yeah. with, wait a minute.
Who is this guy?
Can I call you Matthew now? Because everybody else is calling you Matthew. And it was, I don't know, it was just always a fun little moment. And of course, you know, again, now my kids have friends in youth group who right. call me Matthew. But then they have friends at school who don't come to church
right.
who call me Mr. McCabe. And right. so it's just this weird,
they should just call you Mr. Pastor Matthew McCabe.
I was thinking about the most holy reverend is what I'm going for, but nobody, it's not catching on.
No, I don't think it's going to either. Don't hold your breath for that.
Yeah. What you were saying, this idea of, you know, I've spent most of my life wanting to connect with high school kids mm-hmm. and middle school kids. And especially I want to connect with high school and middle school kids who don't come to my church. I love connecting at the schools, connecting to other students. When my kids became middle schoolers and high mm-hmm. schoolers, it just opened this ginormous window into all yeah. of these people that I had a reason to connect with because yeah. they were my kids' friends. And like I just spending that on Saturday night over at, I think we were at Olivia's house, you know, mm-hmm. With these, you know, 18 kids that mm-hmm. were all dressed up and taking pictures.
Yeah.
Just that was, to me, I was like, wait, this is family time because I'm taking pictures of my son who's going to homecoming. But it kind of feels like ministry time because I'm connecting with high school kids who need Jesus.
Well, it's cool because they see you in both roles, like you said. They don't know whether to call you pastor or mister, but they see your family. They see kind of the spirit that you guys carry, and that's a really positive thing. Even if you're not intentionally leveraging that, like, oh, you got to make sure you invite your friends to church, you're just involved in their lives in a way that can be a really great role model for
people. It makes it easier for them.
Yeah, at John's wedding last summer, one of the kids who, I don't think he ever came to our youth ministry, but he stood up at the rehearsal dinner and just talked about our family and how impressed he was and how much he loved us because of the way we treated him. So those kinds of things are just priceless.
That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's fun, too, to watch your kids blossom. Mm-hmm. Like, I know your kids were very musically talented.
Yeah.
And how did that play out like in ministry?
Oh, that was one of the greatest things of all. I don't even know how it happened. My oldest son picked up a guitar. My wife bought me a guitar for my 40th birthday and it sat. I never even played it.
Can you play anything on guitar?
No, I can't.
Right now?
I can't play the guitar now. I had intended on my 40th birthday to learn to play guitar. She bought me this cheap guitar and John picked it up in around 7th or 8th grade and started to play and just took to it right away. The next thing I know, my son Tim is pulling pots and pans out of the cupboards and he's banging on stuff. And we thought, I think he might be a drummer. And we bought him a drum set and he just was a natural at that. And then my youngest, Thomas, he wants to follow in the footsteps of his brothers. He picks up the guitar and he starts playing and he is incredibly gifted and natural at it. And so all three of them were like the worship band. I had a student joke with me one. They made a video one time where they were pretending to be my kids.
Oh.
No, they were pretending to be me. And they're like, yeah, my son is in the worship band. My other son is in the worship band. Actually, my sons are the worship band.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And that was the truth. Like they were deeply involved.
This amazing season, right?
This season where I had these talented kids and they were my kids.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that coming. I never intended that. I didn't, you know, send them off for guitar lessons to prepare them to be worship leaders. They just rose and grew into that. And to see that expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas told me when he graduated, he said, one of the coolest things about the youth ministry was I had the opportunity to play and perform in a way that nobody else does.
Like, right.
Who else gets that many opportunities to play and lead as a musician in high school? Those opportunities don't exist, but he had that.
Garage bands get a coffee house gig once every 3 months, and he had an every Sunday opportunity to exercise that gift that he had. And you had a front row seat to that.
And I had a worship leader for like 7 consecutive years because of my own kids. It was awesome.
That's not a bad thing either.
No, not at all.
Absolutely. My kids are not musically inclined per se. Mm-hmm. That's not their thing, but they follow in their father's footsteps in that they're very extroverted and very outgoing, mm-hmm. and they all possess a pretty good amount of leadership skills. Yeah. And so for me, it was just fun to watch them grow into that leadership and then have a venue to use that skill, to unleash that. And to just, again, I think that happens to a lot of kids, but it happens to a lot of kids while their parents are home going grocery shopping or watching, 60 Minutes. I got to be there to watch it happen, which is just, was a gift.
Yeah.
It's an absolute gift.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And then even to watch them just, aside from their gifts, what we know, and one of the reasons we're in youth ministry, is we know that between 6th grade and 12th grade, there is so much growth and awakening in a kid's spiritual life.
Yeah.
And I had a front row seat to watch my kids just figure Jesus out, figure out what it meant to follow him, both the good times and the bad times. Yeah. I got to just watch it unfold. Which
you were there for every retreat, every conference, every
high, every low, moment, every spiritual moment. And I've gotten to do that for 30 years with lots of
everybody else's kids,
which is great. But then to do it with my own kids, goo, just absolute goo.
That's so true. I got to baptize all my kids, and to see that happen and be there at the front row, like you said, and that's
amazing.
That's fantastic. So what was the worst? Worst moment you ever had with your own kids' youth? Let's tell a couple funny stories, and we'll wrap up this episode.
Well, to protect the innocent, I won't identify which child, but I remember I had one child who was not extraordinarily outgoing, at least at first. It was a little bit more reserved, a little bit more of a homebody.
Okay.
And the very first middle school fall retreat came up and didn't want to go. We think it's important. And we had that. It wasn't because it was pressure. It was because this is going to be best for you. Not only just you as a person, but you spiritually. So we think
you're
going to
go. Because if you don't, I'm going to look bad.
It wasn't about that. It was about, no, we think this is the best thing. So we made the decision. Yeah, that sounds good.
You need to push this kid out of the house a little bit.
Then comes the day.
Yeah.
And because there was some conflict with swim practice and something else, we were meeting the group at a parking lot. It was a cemetery parking lot because of the route that they were going. And so we met there, and a brawl ensued. Not a brawl, not a physical brawl, but I mean,
with the two of you,
with trying to get this child in the van, there was lots of words exchanged. There were lots of just emotions expressed in the parking lot, to the point where somebody from the cemetery came out and told us,
someone came up from the dead?
No. One of the workers, my goodness, came out to say, this is a reverent place. You guys need to be quiet. I mean, because it was a scene.
There was a scene in the cemetery.
And the scene was happening in front of all of the other leaders and all of the other students.
And all the dead people.
Well, as well. it was not the finest moment for me or for that child, or that will remain nameless.
Was this one of your first experiences?
Yes, this was.
So I could tell which child it was.
Oh, God, dang it, I gave it away. But.
So your first experience
with putting
a kid in youth ministry went really well.
Did not go well.
That should be encouraging to people.
Again, at the end of the day,
it got better.
It got way better. And it was amazing. But that, I remember that day. And I'm sure this child who will remain nameless remembers that day. Neither of us fondly remembers that day.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, one of my kids in particular is just feisty and mischievous, and he came out of the womb like that.
He just came out spitting vinegar.
And we love it about him. He just makes us laugh like nobody else. But occasionally that would get him into trouble, and he would do things that would just get him into trouble. And I remember there was one fall retreat where he and his buddy, who he brought from school, they were just being mischievous. I don't know if they were like throwing bottles of water or something into another group's bunkhouse, just pranking another group's bunkhouse.
Sure.
Not our church, some other church.
Oh, obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the director of the camp comes to me and he says, hey, some of your students have been messing with another group's stuff.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't know that that student is my son. Your own is child. Also my own son. And he says, you know, we love you guys and you've been here for many years, but if this kind of activity continues, we're not going to let you come back.
Your own child, yes, is going to cost you a retreat center?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I was so angry at my son over that incident.
I can only imagine.
Because he almost like blew our connection to the camp. And he's just being goofy. It wasn't anything really harmful.
It wasn't malicious or
no. Yeah. But my gosh, son, use your judgment here. You know, like, don't get our whole group into trouble. And I would have been angry at any kid who had done it, but the fact that it was my kid just made it all the
just
worse.
Just made it a little harder.
And there were other things over the years. There were times I caught, well, I didn't catch, but somebody caught two of my kids making out with girls.
Obviously, and then,
you
classic.
Know, those Anderson boys, you know, they're irresistible. So there were those incidents. There were some other things along the way. There was a fist fight between two of my kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's great. At a youth ministry event.
At a youth ministry event on a Sunday night afterwards, they had some argument. I think it was over a girl. And they were on the floor literally beating the crap out of each
other. Blows at each other.
And I had to pull them apart. And that was a fun ride home.
Yeah, I bet it was.
That was one of my better Sundays.
Yikes.
But
what about good? All right.
Yeah, okay.
Let's turn the table. What about some of the best moments we had?
That just shows we're not perfect.
Yeah. I could think of a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds to distill it down. Yeah. I do remember one that may or may not involve the same child that I did not name in the other story. His sophomore year in Peru, we went on our ministry goes to Peru every summer. And so this was his first, he didn't go his freshman year. So this was his first mission trip to Peru. And I can remember this like it was yesterday. We went to an orphanage. It was kind of, we had a ministry day set up at this orphanage in Peru. And we went there and I literally watched his life change in 4 hours, to see his heart melt, to see light bulbs go on about who he was, what mattered to him, and what he wanted to do. And he's now a social work major because, I think, because not because of that moment. I mean, that moment was part of it.
That's where you saw
But to actually, I mean, I literally feel like I could watch his life change in 4 hours. And to be front and center for that was like, come on.
Which you wouldn't have been there if you hadn't been the youth pastor.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
The one that comes to mind for me as maybe my most poignant moment with my own kids in the youth ministry, and there are, like you said, there are so many, we could talk for hours, but it was actually the very last event that my youngest son was at as a student. So this was the end. Like, this is the end of the road. So I'm already...
Heart's already on overdrive.
Yeah, the heart's already got daggers in it. And it was a conference in the summer after he graduated from high school. And it was the last night of the conference, so all of the, you know, hotel security is pretty much done. And so the kids are staying up late, and they're in this hotel complex, and there's like a walkway between the hotel and the convention center. And a bunch of the kids gather in this walkway, and they're just sitting there. And Thomas has his guitar, and he just played for like an hour and a half, just sat there and played and sang, and everybody's singing along and sitting around with them. And I'm just like, the tears are just...
You were just a bottle. You were just
down
a bottle.
My face, watching this all happen, thinking, where did these years go? How did it go by so quickly? And what a gift it has been to have my own kids in the youth group all these years. So that moment, I tried to freeze frame that in my head. And
You'll access that file many, many times.
Yeah, and you know, he's come back and he's led worship since then, and there's, you know, he's still involved in the college ministry here, but that final moment was just so bittersweet in so many ways, the culmination of, I don't know, 12 years maybe of having kids in the youth group was just a beautiful, beautiful moment.
Wow.
So if you're headed into this season with your own kids, man, you are in for a great ride.
It's going to be amazing.
There's going to be challenges. You're going to have to come and advocate for them, protect them from some things, but you also are going to enjoy this in ways you cannot possibly comprehend.
Can't even imagine.
It's glorious. It is a glorious thing. So don't be afraid. Be joyful. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. It's going to be the best thing in your life.
Yep. And if you're a young youth worker, stay in the game long enough so that you can be the youth pastor or the youth leader when your kids get there.
Good word, dude.
All right. Well, that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah. Encouraging you to keep going so you can make it to the point where you get to see your kids graduate from your own youth ministry. That's pretty special.
Pretty cool.
So that's episode 30. And we hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with a new episode of the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. In the meantime, if you go out to Instagram, follow us there, or give us a like on iTunes or a 5-star review, we would love that as well.
Be super helpful.
Yeah. And we're going to keep doing this as long as people keep listening.
All right. But for now, Sherpas out.